This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وهو ما لا يعني حديث حسن رواه الترمذي وغيره هكذا.
ما شاء الله perfect أخي أحسنت ما شاء الله. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني رواه الترمذي وغيره هكذا. And this hadith is Hassan. What does this hadith mean? The Prophet ﷺ was said that he said from the excellence, the merits and goodness of a person's Islam is that they leave off that which doesn't benefit them. They leave off that which doesn't concern them rather. From the goodness, the excellence, the merits of a person's Islam is that they leave off that which doesn't concern them. In other words, they leave off other people's business. They don't meddle into other people's issues. They don't concern themselves with other people's business. In other words, they're not sticky beaks. They're not busybodies. That's what the hadith is telling you. Now, in terms of... So that's the general meaning. In terms of the grading, many ulama actually grade this hadith as weak. Weak. Among them, present-day ulama, like al-Shaykh Abdul Aziz al-Tarifi, al-Shaykh Abu Ishaq al-Hawaini, and others. These are muhaddithun of our time. There are multiple narrations of this hadith, various narrations of this hadith in different versions. And wallahu a'lam, it seems that this is the case. It is weak. However, it's correct in meaning. The meaning is correct. And this shows you the justice of the ulama. This shows you the justice of our deen. We don't just accept words from the Prophet ﷺ. We don't just accept words that are attributed to the Prophet ﷺ because they sound nice. But rather, this is a religion that's built on usul, on qawa'id, on principles of truth and justice. Therefore, we don't just accept anything. MashaAllah, it sounds awesome. Very nice words. Min husni islam al-mar' tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. However, it shows you, no, that this is a deen that's built on qawa'id, on principles, usul. Therefore, we need to verify. And thus, the verification process of mustalah al-hadith. So, wallahu alam, you find many ulama graded this as hasan, while others graded it as... Da'if. Now, even if it is da'if, it falls under which topic? Fada'ilul a'mal. Sah? Fada'ilul a'mal. Virtuous, meritorious deeds. And what's the ruling on using? What's the ruling on using a hadith that are weak in fada'ilul a'mal? Sorry? What's the ruling? It's allowed with conditions. Ahsantum. It's allowed with conditions. What are the conditions? Number one? You mention it's weak. Number two?
It's not extremely weak.
Good, it's not extremely weak. Number three? Good, it has a... In other words... Has a basis in Islam. If it contradicts, then it falls under shudud or illah, and we have to look at this other issues. No. That's an interesting point. So it depends, Allah. It depends. Has to have a basis in the deen. Meaning it can't contradict something which goes against the basis of the deen. And one more, we said four.
Can't be used in
Aqidah. In Fada'il al-Amal we're talking about. What's the fourth condition in using a weak hadith in Fada'il al-Amal? You have to know it's weak. You have to know it's weak, yes. Good, so you know it's weak. The weakness is mentioned, as Adnan said, and it's not extremely weak, and has to have a basis in the deen. So that's when you're allowed to use a hadith which is weak in fada'il al-amal. That is it. You're not allowed to use, as the brother reminded us, you're not allowed to use a hadith which is weak in aqidah according to consensus or fiqh according to the most correct opinion. This is the majority opinion and wallahu alam the correct opinion. So you're not allowed to use weak hadith in aqidah and fiqh, but fada'il al-amal and targhib wa tarhib, which is encouraging deeds, that's okay. That's okay. So that's in terms of the grading. We're done with that, alhamdulillah. What's the connection between Islam, Iman, and character? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Min husni Islam al-mar," from the excellence, the husn, the goodness of a person's Islam. First and foremost, this shows you that Islam has mahasin, as Ibn Uthaymeen said. It has merits, has levels. Not all Muslimun are on the same level. Some are higher than others. So even within Islam itself, there are various levels in merits, etc. Just like a ladder. Just like a ladder. That's number one. But the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. From a person's Islam, is that they have good character. They don't meddle with people's affairs. that which is private and personal, etc. So he linked Islam with akhlaq. He linked Islam with character. And you find this in other narrations. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, أَيُّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَفْضَلُ. Who is the best Muslim, Ya Rasulullah? What would you expect him to say? The one who prays all night? The one who fasts every second day? What was the answer?
Yeah, it was the last video day after.
Sorry?
Last video day after.
Was it? Inshallah.
Was it the
Surah Al-Hujrat? On Surah Al-Hujrat? What? I can't remember. The believers? The one on the MIA page? Oh, give me the hadith!
What was the beginning of it?
That's the Iman. That's the Iman I'm talking. This is another hadith. This is on Islam. Who is the best Muslim? Not the Akmal al-Mu'minina Imana.
Whose hand and...
But good, mashallah. Yeah, it is Surah Al-Hujrat.
From whose tongue and hand...
Very good. Very good. Man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadi. The best Muslim is the one who the other Muslims are safe from. They're safe from that person's tongue and their hands. Their fists, in other words. Notice he put tongue first. Why? But why did he put... Yeah, but what about punching on? Isn't that bad?
Yeah.
That's bad. But why did he put the tongue first?
Because words are worse.
Correct. Ahsan. Number one, words lead to punch-ups. True? You don't just all of a sudden go up and punch someone in the face for no reason. They must have said something. They must have done something. Right? It's a cause for the punching on. Number two?
Because of multiple.
Sorry?
Cause of
yeah, it can cause. You find most of the time, the problems within our communities, this masjid and that masjid, this person's a madkhali and trying to kick him out of the masjid. Where's it from? Yeah. Like what happened on Friday, Monday. It's from his words, sir. It's from word. The tongue, you find most of the time, issues between masajid and groups of brothers, it's between, the problems are from the tongue. It's not from punching on. That's rare. It does happen, but it's rare. That's number two. Number three. The effects of the tongue are far greater. A person might punch you, that black eye will go after a week or two, but words will stay with you for life. If anyone's teased you, you never forget what they said, when they said it, where they said it, and how they said it. Exactly, you remember everything. That's a third reason. Fourth reason is that your tongue can reach places and people that your fists can never reach. You can start talking about people from here, literally. You can start talking about people from overseas and you haven't even left the country. You can harm people right here. You can harm people overseas right here in Sydney. So those are the four reasons, among many reasons, why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the tongue first. What did we say, number one? What did we say, Shabbat?
And because tongue leads to...
Good. Tongue leads to punching on. It leads to fights. Number two, tongue is more harmful, more hurtful.
Reaches further.
Good. Far reaching. And most of the problems that we have in communities is due to talk, hacking, rumor, etc. The latest rumor. I got kicked out of a masjid. Latest rumor. I got kicked out. If you want to hear things about you that you don't even know, become a da'i. As the Sheikh Ahmed al-Shajibir said. Become a da'i. You want to hear stuff about you? You don't even know? Become a da'i.
You got kicked out?
Yeah, that's the latest rumor. Another rumor. I had an argument with a takfiri. You hear stuff. You see ajay, bro, out there. Just don't worry. Don't worry. Come and verify. It's all, you know, some brothers spread it on WhatsApp, whatever. But if you don't know about it, good. It means it didn't go that far. People knew it's rubbish. You know what's funny? That masjid I never even go to. To get kicked out of somewhere, you got to attend first. Far more reaching, and we said, most of the problems are caused by the tongue. You can give that as a 5-minute reminder one day after Salah. Boom, right there. The benefit of why the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the tongue before the fists. And you can even come up with your own, as long as they don't contradict the meaning. See, da'wah, effective da'wah, is not just narrating. It's extracting benefits. That's where the effective da'wah lies. Anyone can sit there and read. Anyone can say the ayah. What do you learn from the ayah? What do you learn from the hadith? And that's why if you look at the ulama, they don't just teach, they don't recite. They teach you. They teach you the wisdoms and the benefits you can extract from the hadith. Yani we can just come here and say, brothers, don't meddle with other people's affairs. Khalas, next hadith. True? It's not just about that. But there's more to it, as you can see. So the Prophet ﷺ, he linked Islam with character. He said, "Min husni Islam al-mar' tarakuhu ma la yani." He shows good character. And the Prophet ﷺ linked iman to character, where he said the famous hadith, "Akmal al-mu'minina imana, ahsanuhum khuluqa." The most perfect mu'min in regards to their iman is the one who has the best character. So once again, the best Islam and the best Iman is not just memorizing Arkan al-Islam, memorizing Arkan al-Iman and the Adillah and smashing everyone. But rather, it's showing the best akhlaq. That's the best Muslim and that's the best mu'min. Alhamdulillah. But how many people, when they associate Iman and Aqidah, they think of character? Usually, you say Iman and Aqidah, first thing that comes to people's mind, Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma wa Sifat, Kufr b'taghut. You know that was coming. Usually, and that's correct. Takfir and Iman, that's all part of Aqidah. However, how many times do people think of, when they think of Iman and Aqidah, Akhlaq? Well, the Prophet linked it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we're done with that, alhamdulillah. Examples now. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, leaving off that which doesn't concern him. He didn't say that which doesn't concern him in dunya. He didn't say that which doesn't concern him in deen. He didn't say that which doesn't concern him from other people's marriage life or work affairs. He kept it general. What is that called in Arabic when it's general? Nakira. Ahsad. And nakira. As opposed to ma'rifa. Ma'rifa is specified. From arafa. Ma'rifa from arafa. You know it. It's specified. If I said the, okay, you know what I'm talking about. But when it's not mentioned, it's called nakira. What does nakira mean? What does it indicate? Yeah, it's unknown. In other words, it's not known, it's not specified, so it's unspecified, it's unrestricted, so it's general in meaning. In other words, leave that which doesn't benefit you, leave that which doesn't concern you in all matters, whether it's deen. People asking questions that are of no concern to them. In fact, it won't even benefit them. What's the ruling on using water that has been heated up by the sun? Ma mushammas. What's the ruling? Musakhan min ash-shams. What's the ruling? Habibi, is it going to happen? When it happens, then ask the sheikh. You get people. What's the ruling on drinking water from the ocean? Are you ever going to drink salt water? Then ask. When you get to that level, then ask. Once a brother asked a sheikh Mustafa Muhammad Hafidullah, what's the ruling if you're in the desert and you got no food and you see a pig and on the back of it, on that pig, is a can of beer? Can you slaughter the pig, eat it, and then drink the can of beer? Is that ever going to happen? Ask him, he'll tell you. If you ever get to speak to him, that is. Ask him. That's of no benefit. So even in deen, leave it off. You're wasting your time, Habibi. The ant that spoke to Sulaiman, what type of ant was it? Was it a bull ant? Was it a carpenter ant? Or was it a fire ant? Who cares? It was an ant. What was its name? Searching for years on end. They found out after 5 years of research what type of ant it was. Another 5 years of research, we're going to find out the name. What was the name of the mother of Yusuf? What was her name? Is that going to get you into Jannah? Of course not. If it's not mentioned, Allah doesn't want you, it's not really that beneficial. It's not needed for your guidance. If it's not mentioned, it's not needed for your guidance. So it's to do with deen. Also, dunya. And dunya, of course, is of many types, sah? So it could be people's marriage life. For example, person got married. Oh no, a person's not married. Man, he's still not married? How many years has it been now? What, 10 years you're searching? Have you, what's it to you? Maybe they're looking, maybe they're heartbroken, maybe who knows? Leave it. Or they are married. You still don't have kids yet? Man, it's been 10 years. You didn't have kids? People ask these questions. Wallahi, you'll be surprised. Allah, maybe they've been trying. Maybe he can't. Maybe she can't. Maybe there's a problem with her ovaries. You don't know. So this is to do with all matters. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And it's also to do with people's worldly affairs, such as maybe work. Work. A brother's always coming late to work. And it's not even the boss asking him, because that can concern him. The boss has a right to ask. But it's just another workmate. Man, why are you always late, bro? Every day you're late. Why? 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 You live around the corner 5 minutes. I live half an hour away and I'm still on time. Bro, maybe he's got a problem at home. Maybe he's got family issues. We don't know. So we have to be sensitive to other people's affairs. Even when it comes to, this is more to do with deen, worship, i'tikaf, it happens. Some brothers, they want to be super sheikh. Super sheikh. Dynamic da'i. He basically, when it's time for fajr, yalla brothers, Allahu Akbar, it's the adhan, let's go to pray. One brother wants to go to have a shower. He's got his towel, he's going to have a... Brother, the adhan, couldn't you hear it? Are you a kafir now? Come pray. Habibi, maybe he woke up in a state of... Janaba. Janaba, we don't know. Leave it, akhi. Call him, you're going to have to shower. No worries, brother, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Or the sisters, he wants to be super sheikh in front of the sisters at the MSA. It's time for salah. Come on, sisters, come on, let's pray. Yalla, why aren't you getting up? You. Fatima, why aren't you getting up? Maybe she has... cycles, that's right. Her monthlies. Well, that happens. Sometimes, you know, even in just, you know, joking matters, you know, you got a personal joke. You and your brother, you and your friend, and you're laughing, you know, you're giggling. Another guy comes along, what's going on? Doesn't it happen? It happens. Well, that happens. Once I was on my phone, and the brother was sitting next to me. You know what he does? He looks over, what are you doing there? I'm looking up a hadith, is that alright with you? What are you doing? What's going on? Wallahi, what if I'm messaging my wife? Something private. So? SubhanAllah, wallah ajeeb sometimes. It happens. So, this is to do with all matters, even in regards to the hereafter, Shabab. That's more to do with deen as well. Hereafter. Allah mentions there's honey in Jannah. What type of honey is it? Manuka honey, leatherwood. What color is it? Does it go off? No, it doesn't go off, but don't worry. It's nice honey. You'll like it. So even to do with hereafter, or, you know, someone died on kufr. What level of Jahannam is that guy in? You know, the lowest or level 6? You know, Qaddafi. I wonder where he ended up, bro. Wonder what's happening to him now. Paul Walker, did he die? Did he die as a Muslim or a kafir? So much so that Mashayikh, they made videos about it, and it's in America, they put it online about Paul Walker, if he's a Muslim or not. You know Paul Walker, Fast and the Furious? He died in a horrific car accident, and the irony, because he was racing, you know, cars and stuff like that in his movies. That's the irony. They made videos about it. Habibi, apparently he died on kufr. So apparently he's a kafir. Apparently we bury him among the kufar, and apparently we don't pray on him. Leave it at that. If he accepted Islam at home in the closet, him and Allah, that's different. They don't want to come out of the closet, yeah? That's different. Allah will judge him on that. But apparently, khalas, leave it. Why is that a concern? Now, because a celebrity and his death was saddening. People made videos. Go online. Is Paul Walker in Jannah or not? You'll see videos. From du'at in America. Why? That doesn't concern you. Is Allah going to ask you on the Day of Judgment, Hassan, this bloke, should I put him in hellfire or Jannah? Well, Allah's not going to ask you. Sometimes brothers, they overdo this issue of takfir. We have takfir in our deen. It's part of our deen. It's part of our usul. At the same time, we don't overdo it. And sometimes the brothers are asking for no real benefit. When I came back from Egypt, a brother came up to me, is Mursi a kafir or not? What do you want to know? I just want to know the ruling. Why? Are you going to eat from the meat he slaughtered? No. Are you going to marry your daughter to Mursi? No. Are you going to pray behind him? No. Then why are you asking? So? Yes, takfir is part of our deen. We make takfir on Bashar. We make takfir on Qaddafi, these Tughat, Sisi. Yes, it's needed because we have to warn the people, and what they're doing is click at kufr. But if it's not clear, why are people so adamant? It doesn't concern you. On the Day of Judgment, Allah will decide. He's not going to ask you, should I put this guy in hellfire or Jannah? He's not going to ask us that. Allah's going to do it. He's not going to put us in the as judge, jury, and executioner on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So when it's needed, we do it. We're balanced. That's Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We are balanced. We make it when it's needed. At the same time, when it's not needed, we avoid it. So as you can see, if a person doesn't leave off that which doesn't concern them, they could be going into issues like this of the deen that are blameworthy. So as we know, questions are either praiseworthy or blameworthy. We've already taken that in the early ahadith. So leave off doubtful matters. And this is connected to hadith 11. Da' ma yuribuk ila ma la yuribuk, which we took last week. So those are some examples. Let's look at some scholarly quotes of this hadith itself. What did the ulama say? If you go to your notes on the first page, it says, beautiful quote by Abu Muhammad ibn Abi Zayd. He was the imam of the Malikiyyah in his time. He said, who would like to read what he said? Some nice words.
Tafadhal ya Abu Bakr.
Ibn Rajab was
Ibn Rajab.
Imams are saying that the following four hadiths set the main concept for good manners and behavior.
Naam, yani these four ahadith are the core of all good character in our deen. In other words, if you had to summarize akhlaq in our religion, it's based on these four ahadith. These four ahadith are the principles of good character. And what are they?
The hadith mentioned above. Second one.
Which is this hadith. So all good character stems from four hadith. Number one, this hadith, من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعني. Second,
let him who believes in Allah and the last day either speak good or keep silent.
نعم, the hadith, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت.
And the third, a man said to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, counsel me, counsel me. He said, do not become angry. The man repeated his request several times. And he said, do not become angry.
No. Third hadith, لا تغضب. Don't get angry. لا تغضب.
And the fourth, none of you truly believes until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself.
No. That hadith is next week, inshallah. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. So all good character stems from these four. SubhanAllah. So once again, if you had to give a small dars one day after salawat, maybe at the MSA, you'd say this beautiful quote by Abu Muhammad ibn Abi Zayd, who was the imam of the Malikiyyah in his time. Words that should be written in gold. But that's a very nice quote. Some others that are not in your notes now. Some other scholarly quotes. This is from Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was he? Who was Anas ibn Malik? Yeah, one of the Sahaba. And in particular, he was Khadim Rasulillah. Who was? Kana Khadima Rasulillah. He was this slave or servant? Servant. Slave is abd. We are ibadullah. Yes? Slave is full time. He was a servant of the Prophet ﷺ. Did the Prophet need a servant? No. He would serve himself ﷺ, but it was a gift that was given to him by Anas's mother, who was named Sulaim. Al-Muhim, Anas ibn Malik narrates this hadith, which is in a Tirmidhi. One of the Sahaba died. So one of the men at the time, one of the Sahabi, he said, أُبَشِّرُهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. I give him the glad tidings. That guy's got it made. He's in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, no, you can't say this. You don't know. Perhaps he spoke about something which didn't concern him. SubhanAllah. In other words, that could be a barrier between you and Jannah, my brother. To delve into other people's private matters, personal affairs, to be a sticky beak, in other words. He said, don't say that. Perhaps he spoke about issues that didn't concern him. Allahu Akbar. This is a hadith which is in a Tirmidhi, and Al-Imam al-Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah classified it as Sahih in his book As-Silsila As-Sahiha. As-Silsila As-Sahiha, hadith number 3103. That was a hadith in a Tirmidhi, and it was classified by Al-Albani as authentic in his book As-Silsila As-Sahiha, hadith number 3103. Another narration. A man passed by Luqman alayhi salam. Luqman alayhi salam, what was he? A prophet or righteous slave?
Righteous
man. MashaAllah, very good. There's a difference of opinion, however, most correct. Luqman kana abdan saliha. Luqman kana abdan salihan. He was a righteous slave, wasn't a prophet. He was so honorable, Allah named a surah after him. And when Allah wants to make a big deal out of something, He names a surah after it. The point is, Luqman was extremely honorable and noble and righteous. One day a man passes him and he's shocked. He goes, is that you, Luqman? Yes, it's me. He said, didn't used to be slave of so-and-so and of such and such tribe and have this job as a carpenter? He said, yes. He said, how did you get to this higher level and rank? He said, three ways. Three things. Number one, I spoke the truth. You want high rank? This is what you do. Number one, speak the truth. If we compromise the truth, my dear brothers, how would it ever be known? If you don't stand up for truth, what are you going to stand up for? Batil? Malcolm X said, rahimahullah, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You got to stand up for the truth. He said, I would speak the truth. Number two, remaining silent for long periods of time. Silence. Abu Darda said, you should listen more and speak less because you've been given two ears and one mouth. So you should listen twice as much as speaking. The problem with those with closed minds is that their mouth is always open. So that's the problem. And perhaps a meaningful silence is better than meaningless words. That's more better. Sometimes people, they're talking, you think, please, hal anni ba'a, man. Please, I wish this guy would stop talking. Talking, what? Talking rubbish. So it's better to have a meaningful silence than meaningless words. He said the second way was silence. Number three, leaving that which doesn't concern me. This hadith. That's Luqman alayhi salam. That's how he achieved a high rank. The man was shocked. And imagine after many years, a person who you knew at high school was teased, mocked, he was looked down on and considered the dweeb, right? Later on you see him as a big sheikh, alama, or the Amir of the Muslims. How did you get there? That's basically what he's saying. Everyone's sitting around him, he's giving a halaqah, speaking about, and he's talking about the deen. He goes, that's how I achieved it. And Muwarriq al-Ajli, this was a man from the Salaf. He said, there's one thing I've been seeking and asking Allah for many years and I still haven't found it. Allah still hasn't granted it to me. What is it? To leave off that which doesn't concern me. He said, I've been trying to seek it for years. I've been asking Allah for years, but I still can't attain it. Because humans are curious by nature. So that's how we are. We have a tendency to want to know what's always going on. Sometimes people are talking, you want to know, are they talking about me? That's how we are as humans, we're curious. But leave it off. And you'll save yourself a lot of headache. Last quote about the Salaf regarding this hadith. Al-Hasan al-Basri said, rahimahullah, he was one of a tabi'in, very good. He said, one of the signs that Allah has turned away from you, you want to know, has Allah turned away from you, neglected you, is that you become involved in issues that don't concern you. That's one of the signs Allah has turned away from you. That you always want to be involved in other people's personal affairs. Look what the kuffar do. Classic example. Women's Weekly. And what else? What they call those trashy magazines? Women's Day. Women, huh? Women. Waj'aras. Women's Day, Women's Weekly. And that's why Allah said, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِن نِسَاءٌ صح? If you remember Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah mentioned the women specifically. Because they have that tendency as well. Allahu al-musta'an. But that, what are those magazines of Balut based on? It's about delving into people's private affairs. We caught a celebrity without makeup. Whoop-de-doo. Right? Who cares? What, do they sleep with her? They shower with her? I have to take her off sometime. True? The celebrity is wearing casual clothing. SubhanAllah. Allah, some people, they get their kicks out of this stuff. They get their kicks. A sheikh, they see him wearing jeans. He's wearing jeans. They put it all over Facebook. Leave him. Did they think he wears abaya 24/7? I went to the barbecue in the park. I wore in a pants and shirt. Sure, you don't wear a thobe? Yeah, I don't wear a thobe all the time. I don't sleep in it and I don't shower in it. And even when I came down to soccer. Oh, you play soccer? Yeah. I run. Because I'm a human. Wallahi, you'd be shocked sometimes. So those are some scholarly quotes. Summary of the deen. My dear brothers, I'll mention two things that will summarize the deen for you. As the ulama have stated, of course. Two principles that summarize your whole deen. What are they? Number one. Ta'tiya, ta'diya, al-ma'murat. Ta'diya, al-ma'murat. يعني أن تؤدي المأمورات. You fulfill the instructions. You fulfill the instructions of the Quran and the Sunnah. This is a summary of our deen. Number two, ijtinab al-manhiyat, to leave that which was prohibited, to avoid that which is forbidden or prohibited. And from those two, you have another two. So the instructions could be wajib, which is obligatory, or nafil, which is optional. So the Prophet could instruct you, but it could be optional. And that which is forbidden is, of course, the haram. And that which can lead to haram, what is it? Makruh. Ahsan. Ya'ini alak. You can't translate ya'ini alak, can you? Yeah, ma'an you. Yeah, if you say in English, if you translate it, it actually looks, sounds like it's something bad. I got my eye on you, man. Watch out. But it's actually a compliment. My eye on you. Ijtinab al-manhiyat. From naha yanhi. Naha, nahaytuka an. Ta'muruna bil ma'ruf wa tanhawna an al-munkar. To forbid. So that, of course, is of two types. You just do these two things, my brothers. That is Islam. You are from Ahlul Jannah, right there. Instructions, have you missed anything? You avoided the haram and you fulfill that which is obligatory or that which is optional. You fulfill the instructions and you keep away from the forbidden. And anything that leads to the forbidden. Because anything that leads to the haram is haram. So zina, what leads to zina? Khalwa with a woman. Touching her hand, for example, shaking hands. Anything that leads to haram is haram. So that's how you can, and that's found where? Now? Of course, Quran, Sunnah, but where? A single phrase. Shahada. La ilaha, to leave off that which is forbidden. Shirk, kufr, all other deities, then illallah, you affirm it. Beautiful. So that is in your shahada. The negation, affirmation. Avoid the haram, and then you fulfill the instructions, which is illallah, and everything that is associated with it, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's a summary of your deen. Islam is easy. It's people that make it hard. It's us. The deen is easy. Alhamdulillah. So we're done with that. Consequences now. What are the consequences of not fulfilling this hadith? There are many. Consequences of failing to implement this hadith. Give me some, Shabab. Help me out. There's a few. Okay, good. It may lead to hellfire, as per the hadith, yeah? It may. Not all the time, it may.
Major sin.
Major sin. Said to Major Sin.
Yeah, because of that hadith he gave us last time. And then the one that
yes, eavesdropping. This is a major sin because it's among them eavesdropping. What were you gonna say, sir?
No.
Yeah, eavesdropping. Backbiting. There's punishment for it.
Backbiting.
Okay, backbiting isn't really is a fault to leave off that which doesn't concern you. Yeah, you can fall into backbiting. Ahsant. So you are sinning. It's a major sin, not just sinning, but it's a major sin. It can lead you to that. What else? It's right. Stress, worry, qalak. SubhanAllah. Very good. You're going to stress yourself out and tire yourself out for no reason. Because the issues of people never stop. You're going to worry about this person's issues, this person's issues. You're going to tire yourself out. You're going to stress yourself out.
You know how to know.
Naam. And you're going to neglect yourself.
Because you're focused on everyone else. You're going to neglect yourself and your ibadah.
Wasting time.
Ahsant.
Ya'ani alaik. Wasting time. Big time waster.
No benefit. Also, you can ruin your relationship with others. True? You're a busybody. No one wants you. No one wants you around. So ruin your relationship with others.
But there's something else that can happen. You can ruin others' relationships.
Al-Shaykh Al-Ustadh Abdul Rahman Al-Hassan from the UK. Anyone heard of him? Yeah. He was mentioning a story that, true story he knows that happened there in the UK. Basically, a brother was in i'tikaf and his wife was new to the country and she was at home one day. She had a visitor, a sister came over, and they're talking. She's asking her, by the way, how much do you get from the government? SubhanAllah, asking about personal issues. She goes, why are you asking? Because you know, based on the rules and laws of this country, you should be getting X number of dollars based on this number of kids that you have. She goes, do you see this money? She says, no. She goes, then it's your husband. He's taking it all. Call him right now. She goes, I can't. He's in i'tikaf. She goes, call him and demand your money. She's, see the, sometimes the shayateen of al-ins, they can like do this problem. So she calls her husband. He's in i'tikaf. Yes. What's going on? I want my money. He goes, how dare you call me in i'tikaf, disturb my ibadah just for money? Something important, no problem. She said, if you're not going to give me money, then I don't really want to be with you. He goes, okay, you're divorced. Just like that. Now, he's mutahammis, he shouldn't have said it like that. But he did it, all because of this shaitana. And as soon as I hanged up, the other sister said, what happened? Oh, he divorced me. She said, he doesn't want you anyway. Otherwise, he wouldn't have divorced you just like that. So after she ruined the relationship by meddling with people's affairs, she goes, yeah, don't worry, you'll get someone better than him. Allahu Akbar. See what can happen? Going into people's affairs like that? Nah. And you got to be careful, brothers. You got to be careful about how you speak to other people as well. How you speak to people. It can really ruin relationships. Instead of, for example, you haven't seen a brother for months, he hasn't been coming to the masjid or the lessons. Instead of saying, where you been, say, how you been. Just one word can change the whole demeanor of that sentence and make them feel either comfortable or uncomfortable. Where you been, man? Where you been, bro? You haven't been here for, what's going on? Right? No, how you been? How you been, akhi? Is everything alright? See, how you been? Where you been? Big difference. Big difference. So how we speak to people, always think before speaking. Think, is this beneficial? Is it kind? Is it necessary? If so, I'll say it. If not, I'll avoid it. And also, if things are going well for you and someone's telling you about their marriage problems, don't say, oh, man, you're going through a tough time and my marriage is awesome. Now, people don't usually say it like that. They'll say, alhamdulillah, my husband's not like that. Alhamdulillah, my wife's not like that. But you're indirectly saying, you know, look, you got a bad, I got a good. So you got to be careful about when people are telling you their problems, sympathize with them. Sympathize. Not, you know, man, your wife's a shaitana, bro. You know, if Iblis was a female, that's your wife. some people, I'm sure they're not going to say it like that. But you'll be surprised, like this true story in the UK. So if things are going well for you, be careful how you say it, to others. Misconceptions now, finally. This hadith means you shouldn't enjoin good and forbid evil, yes? Because it's other people's affairs, sah? No, doesn't mean that. No, misconception. Based on this hadith, does that mean I can't enjoin the good and forbid the evil? No, because that is something that concerns you, that concerns each and every one of us. Why? The Prophet ﷺ says, "Kuntum antum, you all, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas." You were all, Allah's addressing all of us, you were the best ummah. Why? Among many reasons. What is it? Ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawna 'anil munkar. That's why we all enjoying good and forbid the evil. We're all connected. So that's a misconception. Misconception. I'm not going to give da'wah. Da'ni wa sha'ni. Leave him to my, you know, he's got his business, I've got mine. No. At the same time, that doesn't mean you just give da'wah how you want, because da'wah has usul. There's principles. For example, a sheikh is doing something wrong, and you can see clearly it's wrong. Now, perhaps it wouldn't be wise for you to do it. Maybe you get another sheikh. You look, sheikh, that man, that sheikh is doing this wrong. Can you speak to him? So there's ways. How you correct your brother is not like how you correct your father. How you correct an elder is not like how you correct a younger one. So you see, that doesn't mean you don't... Because now we've illustrated and established it is something that concerns you, it doesn't mean that you can just say it off the bat as you wish. There are usul. I gave a lecture about this once. It's called The Prophet's Method in Correcting Mistakes. It's online. It's like an hour. I go into the different categories of how to correct people. How to correct your parents, how to correct your friends, how to correct sinners. Based all from the ahadith and the ayat. And how you correct a sinner is not like how you correct your brother, or a mu'min, or a shaykh. Or there's different ways. And we go and mention some of the stories. It's based on Muhammad al-Arifi's book, Enjoy Your Life. It's a very good book. You must read this book. Enjoy Your Life. It's in Arabic and English. Istamti' bi hayatik. It's based on that book. He mentions some very nice techniques, like how to correct a smoker. He mentions the story of, you know, once a man came to him, and he's got this problem of smoking, and they were at the haram. So Muhammad al-Arifi takes him to the haram, and he says, "Do you want what they want? Like forgiveness from Allah?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "Raise your hands. Let's make dua together." Muhammad al-Arifi and this smoker raising the hands in dua. He says, "Oh Allah, forgive so-and-so. Oh Allah, bless so-and-so. Oh Allah, grant him Jannah so-and-so." And he's crying. "Oh Allah, give him all that if he leaves off smoking." "What? Stop. If he leaves it off?" "Yes, if you leave it off." Walks off. Years later, he's doing the same TV show in the same country. A man who's a bit fat now comes over to him. He says, "Sheikh, do you remember me?" He says, "I'm sorry, I don't remember you." He says, "I'm the man you made dua for to leave off smoking many years ago. Alhamdulillah, I left it off since that day." I tell you, correct a smoker. Not, "Ya la'een, ya shaitan, what are you doing? You know the filth that you're putting in your mouth? Using that to recite Quran as well, that same mouth?" There's ways. Now perhaps your kid, you can go a little bit harder. But another brother, someone you don't know, you're walking in the street, take it out of his mouth and step it on the floor, you're going to cause a punch-up. So there's uslub, there's ways. As we said, enjoining good, forbidding evil, that is not what this hadith is telling you. So no, that is part of you, that is your concern. Based on that ayah we said, and also, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described us as one what? One ummah, yes, and one body. He didn't say one family. Big difference. One family. Can't people of the same family boycott each other? Can't they say, "You know, I don't want to talk to my brother forever, I disown them"? Can't they say that? Although it's wrong, but they have the privilege of saying that. If they wanted to, they can abandon each other as family members. But can you say to your own body part, "You know what, oh pinky, I don't like the look of you, slice it off"? You know, you look at your leg, "You know what, I don't like this leg, it's doing me wrong, cut it off." You can't, you don't have the privilege, you don't have the pleasure of cutting off your body and saying, "You know what, I disown myself from you." You're all concerned with each other. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, when one part of the body aches, the whole body suffers with sleeplessness and fever. We're one body. In other words, we're all connected. So therefore, issues of the ummah concern us. So we are concerned about Palestine, Syria, Iraq, Yemen. We're concerned because it's all connected to us. So to say, "You know what, based on this hadith, I'm not going to concern myself with the other countries of the Muslims." No, that's wrong. That's wrong. So that's also another evidence you can use. And also the Prophet ﷺ, finally, he said about the parable of those who give dawah, those who stop harm, like those on a boat. Upper deck, lower deck. Those on the lower deck, they want water, so they keep going to the top deck. They keep asking, they keep giving them. Then after a while, the people on the lower deck say, "You know what? We're not going to ask the top deck anymore. We keep bothering them. How about we make a hole right here on the bottom?" What happens if the top deck leave them? They all drown. They're all dead. So it's part of their business to stop them from doing harm. So when you see a Muslim doing wrong, it concerns you. You should stop them. Otherwise, it's going to affect you, Habib. It's going to affect the ummah. We're all going to drown. That's the parable of enjoining good and forbidding evil. Beautiful words by the Prophet ﷺ. Amazing parables that make things crystal clear. And as the Prophet ﷺ is saying, it's from the excellence of a person's Islam to leave off that which doesn't concern him. It's also from the weakness of a person's Islam to leave that which does concern him. Not it's from the weakness of a person's Islam to be involved. Yeah, that's true. But also, it's from the weakness of your deen. من ضعف الإسلام من ضعف إسلام المرء تركه ما يعنيه. Just change the words around. That's also true, as Ibn Uthaymeen and the ulama have stated. من ضعف إسلام المرء تركه ما يعنيه. From the weakness of a person's Islam is that leave that which concerns them. What's something that concerns you? These are in your notes now, on the next page. Right at the bottom. Things which are, Ahsant, you read your notes, mashallah, highlight, excellent. What concerns you? Fara'id, obligations. What about knowledge? That concerns you. Fardu'ayn, صح? Knowledge which is fardu'ayn, you have to learn it. What is knowledge that you have to learn? That which you have to do. Yeah, knowledge which is fardu'ayn is that which you have to do. So what do you have to do? What's something you have to do? Salah, that you have to learn about it. Wudu, you have to do it, you have to learn about it. What about zakah? Do you have to learn about it?
If you reach that level.
You don't have to, unless you have money. A person who's poor, never has money, doesn't have to. Or they have people under them that they are responsible for. That's different. The fiqh of menzies, the cycle, do you have to learn about it? You don't have to. It's not fard on you to learn it. But when do you have to learn about it? When you get your cycle. That was a joke. The brothers are confused. What? I hope not. Is that going to happen? Wait, of course, it's a joke. When you have to look after your daughter, for example, you have to teach her, or your wife, for example, that's different. Now you have to learn it to teach her. You see how the fardu ayn, the fard kifayah, that which is obligatory knowledge to know and that which isn't, it can change. So anyway, the point is, what concerns you? Your family concerns you. Looking after them concerns you. Anything that concerns you as a parent, your kids, anything that concerns you, it's from your weakness of iman to leave it off if it concerns you, subhanAllah. So the opposite is true. With that, we end. SubhanAllahumma wa bihamdik nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.